family. We are a church family. We hear it all the time. And I think that every church lives it in one way or another. Being part of a family is something that is filled with positive feelings, nurturing presence, and loving attitudes. That's family. And sometimes the church family can be a negative thing. One way, when it means that the family is a closed, private community where only those who know the right rules, do the right things, and accept the right beliefs are welcome. That happens in church too. And in this week's Bible reading, Jesus is being ridiculed for the way he did things. His family, the family like his blood relatives, I guess, they may have been trying to rescue him, though it's more likely that they were just trying to shut up their rogue son at the moment. It was dangerous talk, at least. And Jesus took the opportunity to let folks know that the church family isn't a limiting kind of thing. Church family is one where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome, right? And when you're welcomed into the family, guess what happens to the family? It changes. Person coming into the family changes. The family itself changes. Everything is changed. Everyone in the family becomes part of the new family history that is ongoing. And the history changes. So phrases like, well, we've always done it this way, so, well, they aren't part of a family that is welcoming new people into the family. A thriving church family is a growing, changing organism. It always is. It always has been. But there's more to the reading than just that. We'll take a look. This one, Jesus is out of his mind. He has a demon. There's a problem with the New Testament. I mean, there may be more than one problems, but there's a problem with the New Testament knowledge with the human brain versus what our knowledge is now. And it's important to name it too. And I have said this before, and it's important to repeat it. Whenever you hear about people who are possessed by demons in the Bible, it's highly likely that what was really going on is that person was suffering from some sort of mental health episode or a brain disorder. And just as I think it's a bad idea to ignore medical treatment for any disease and instead simply try to pray it away, it's a bad idea to take a person with any mental health issue and try to pray it away by calling it a demon and casting it out. It's not just a problem, it's awful. I've been part of this movement called Widening the Welcome that I've mentioned before. It's a movement in the United Church of Christ, and I've been with it since it began 6 years ago. Becoming a welcoming church isn't just 6 years old, but this movement, Widening the Welcome, is 6 years old. And I'm going to be the music coordinator for their next conference this September, too. And the Widening the Welcome movement seeks to help churches and individuals to become welcoming and nurturing communities and people to all of God's children. And it seems that folks that may have a "you're not welcome here" attitude, whether intentional or not, don't always get that. It's not okay to have a "you're not welcome here in any way, shape, or form" kind of attitude. Especially with people with disability. 1 in 4 families in any congregation, right here, any congregation, any gathering of people, 1 in 4 families are affected by disability. And the church can't simply throw up our arms and say, "we don't know what to do with that." The Widening the Welcome movement is starting something about being a WISE congregation, W-I-S-E. And now I don't remember what the W-I-S-E stands for, but you can go to WideningTheWelcome.com and find out more. It's a brand new movement about congregations that have elected to say, "we are welcoming something." I forgot what it is there. But it would be great if we took a journey toward being a WISE congregation, about being a congregation that is accessible to all. And we take that pledge together. There's more in the Bible reading today. about if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. Now, here's something. Jesus actually wasn't saying anything really profound or beyond his meaning there. He was really just answering the, you're in cahoots with Satan, even though you do things in God's name talk. That's what they were saying. You can't cast out. You're casting out demons, even though you're in cahoots with Satan. He wasn't really talking about arguments regarding what's the right way to do church. I think he figured that if people were on the same page with following God, that the little things would be easy to work out. And the church has proved that idea wrong over time, hasn't it? We're good at arguing over, I want it my way, or this is the way it should be. And that aside, it's just not what Jesus was talking about. In today's reading, he was talking about being in cahoots with Satan. You can't be in cahoots with Satan and be in cahoots with the church, is all he was saying. And be aware that the church family as a whole has done some awful and evil things in the name of God. Not this church family, but the church family. If something we ever do serves to marginalize, exploit, reject, demonize, or otherwise make any of God's children out to be less than, then it's not something that we can do in God's name. And then there's another part. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Yes, the unforgivable sin. Did any of you ever grow up worrying that you might violate that? You might commit the unforgivable sin, and then what are you going to do? A lot of my friends who are Roman Catholic were very worried about that particular thing. Like, I don't know if I've done that. I don't know what I'm going to do. And if you grew up Roman Catholic, maybe you considered that. But let me just start and end on that little bit there, this unforgivable sin. There's nothing a person can ever do that God cannot forgive. Jesus was addressing the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, the we know it all and we do it right folks, with the holier-than-thou attitudes. And they really ticked Jesus off. He wasn't issuing an order or establishing dogma right here. Jesus was telling those who were certain that they knew it all that they didn't. And they'd better get uncertain and let God be God. And then finally, back to the beginning of our reading. Who are my mother and my brothers? Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, my sister. Jesus wasn't saying that family is bad, although he was being kind of flip here. You can imagine Jesus among all these people, and he starts getting yelled at, hey, your mother and brother and sisters are here to shut you up. And then he gets all, I don't know, flip. Says, who are my mother and brother and sisters? Anyone that does the will of God. So he dissed his family there. But he wasn't communicating that family was bad any more than he was just having a moment of saying something that wasn't really kind towards his family. Jesus wasn't saying the church family was bad either. He wasn't communicating this, though, I think. God's family is open, inviting, welcoming, forgiving, healing, blessing, nurturing, and full of love. Jesus is saying, that is what I so desperately want for all of the church to be. And I think that it's what I know that we're striving to be. Remember, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. So church family, it's a good thing. Sometimes it turns into a bad thing. But we can do family well. We can do family together. We can be this living, inviting, open, welcoming, forgiving, healing, blessing, nurturing, and full of love family. So let's follow Jesus' way. Let's follow God's will. Amen.